Welcome to the Ozone.
Hello and welcome to the Ozone. I'm your host, Jeff Hazard, Assistant Director of Athletics and Sports Information Director here at SUNY Oneonta. And on today's episode, we're going to welcome into, by remote camera, we're going to welcome in 2021 Hall of Famer Chris Williams, member of our baseball team from the late 80s, early 90s. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. It's great to be here.
Well, first of all, before we go any further, on behalf of the Hall of Fame committee, I'd like to congratulate you on being one of our inductees this year. Certainly well-deserved from the incredible four-year career that you had for Oneonta wearing the red and white. So congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And just to honor, you know, all those I played with and you know, obviously my former coach, Don Axtell, I donned the Oneonta Red Dragon jacket. So I pulled this baby out of storage and I'll be wearing it throughout the episode. So,
well, I tell you, I did comment that it still fits pretty good. And it looks great.
Thank you.
Yeah, it looks great. So, I mean, why don't we start there? I mean, you know, what's the feeling for you, you know, being a Hall of Famer at the institution that you spent 4 years of your life here?
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing, when you say those words, I get chills, you know, going down my spine. But, you know, whenever I talk about Oneonta or Coach Axtell, you know, there's memories that come, you know, rushing back to me. You know, and I always tell my family that Oneonta was absolutely the best 4 years of my life. You know, so there's just such a good feeling, you know, when I talk about my experience with not only the baseball team, but the college. Yeah. You know, what a great brand that we have. And it was such an honor to represent the organization.
How'd you find Oneonta? How'd you get here? And why'd you choose Oneonta?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, for those that don't know me, I played my baseball here in Long Island for Coach DeMartini. He's been coaching now for over 50 years. In fact, they just named the field after him. He's going to be retiring at the end of this year. And I played for Northport High School. And, you know, we had one of our football coaches who played for Coach Axtell. His name was Tim Mundell. And Coach Tim Mundell was really responsible for introducing me to Don. So, you know, I chose Oneonta because I thought that, you know, it was a good fit. You know, for where I was, for my, you know, skill set, I really thought that I kind of had a mediocre type senior year. But Don was very excited because he knew kind of what my potential was based on his relationship with Coach Mundell. So he was really excited to welcome me as a freshman. And we did talk about, you know, contributing to the team as a freshman, which, as you know, in college, it's quite an honor to be able to contribute as a freshman. So I really think it was the relationship that Coach and Tim had, and then my relationship with Tim, and then just kind of explaining about what the program was about, but more importantly, what Don Axtell was about. And I'm sure we'll get into a little bit of that later on in our episode here.
Right. So, you were a four-year starting catcher. And you certainly contributed. I mean, catching, in that time and place, you know, now it's a little different when you're the catcher. I mean, a lot of times you're not calling the game or, you know, today as you were back in the day when you played. So, I mean, what was that like? I mean, you're like the general out there and you're really responsible for running the team on the field.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And I think that's really where I was able to achieve such a high IQ, a high baseball IQ, right, was playing that position. Because as you mentioned, Jeff, you know, back then, you know, Coach, he didn't call the pitches. He relied on us to understand the hitters, understand what we were trying to do from a strategy perspective. And then, you know, for me, it was about developing great relationships with my pitching staff. And I think out of all the, you know, statistics that we look at for, you know, considering something like the Hall of Fame, I would have to say it was really my ability to call a game and to receive the ball, you know, and to kind of work that way, that angle of the game, you know, for my pitching staff and my team. I think that really is the strongest point. Unfortunately, we don't really get to measure those.
Right.
That's a little bit more of a subjective quality, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I would say, you know, at all the home runs and all the base hits and RBIs and all that good stuff that I put up, I would really say is how I handled the pitching staff was really what set me apart from, you know, your traditional player.
Right. And so who were some of those pitchers during that time that you really
thought? Wow, we had out? Yeah, so I can go back to my freshman year. We had Randy Benedict,
yeah,
who was being scouted. Randy was a fastball pitcher, had a great slider, kept the ball down. If anyone knows about how Coach Axtell talked to his pitching staff, it was always about using their legs and keeping the ball down to try to get ground balls, right?
Yeah.
So Randy was, you know, he was great, and he had great accuracy as a freshman catcher. What a pleasure it was to catch him. Kenny Stevens was another great pitching pitcher for us. He had tremendous IQ. He understood, you know, how to pitch somebody, how to pitch to his strengths. He didn't really have a blazing fastball, but his accuracy was pinpoint. And then as I kind of move on through my career, I think of guys like Rich Younger, who was my co-captain my senior year. Richie was just a gamer. He was an old school type pitcher. He just had a game face on from, you know, first inning to the ninth. He pitched very deep into games.
Yeah.
And he was another one that just had great. He didn't throw in the 90s, but he threw high 80s, and again just was able to kind of you know, pinpoint accuracy when I sat up on the outside. And we just had really good chemistry too. Richie and I had really good chemistry. He kind of knew what I was going to be calling, and you could just tell, you know, when you get into a flow with a pitcher, what a pleasure it is. You know, they're not shaking you off or anything. I didn't mind that. But you know, many times throughout a game with Rich, he never shook me off. We were just always on the same page, and that's saying a lot for, you know, for those folks that are catchers.
Right.
They understand what I
now,
mean there.
Younger, was he also a positional player? Did he, when he did?
He
pitch?
Was. He was. When he was younger, he was a freshman and sophomore. He was a third baseman for us.
Third base.
Yeah, and Coach kind of groomed him into a pitcher. He also was a very good hitter for us. I don't know how many at-bats he had. I'm not sure if you have the statistics in his senior year, because Coach, you know, was a big believer in not having the pitchers hit. Except for Roger Weaver, who
yeah.
is a Hall of Famer. He's one of the only pitchers that Coach let hit,
yeah.
for good reason.
Yeah.
Great hitter.
Yeah, he also played in the major leagues for a little bit. So, yeah, he was certainly a
That's
special
right.
player. Yeah. So some of those teams, you know, you had some success, SUNYAC Championship, ECAC tournaments.
Yeah.
You know, can you point to one or two seasons that you think were really – you know, your most special here at the college?
Yeah, I mean, I think my freshman year was a great year. We had a great team, captained by Bud Mason and Glenn Katz, Ricky Mueller, Tim Harkness.
Wow, those are some names.
Yeah, I mean, and as a freshman coming up, what a great group to be able to, you know, have mentor you,
right, right.
You know, college baseball. I remember my first practice as a freshman, and, you know, Division III was like, you know, we all wanted to play Division I, but my first practice, I was like, boy, these guys are good. You know, like I didn't think Division III was going to be that good, but, you know, they were very high performing athletes. So that year I think was special to me. And then obviously I always go back to my junior and senior years. Those were just, man, we competed, our entire team was bought in, to, you know, to coach's process. And you know, we didn't have great success in the late 80s. But boy, we turned that around, you know, my freshman year all the way up through the 93 year,
right.
You know, we had some really competitive teams in the Northeast.
You know, let's maybe move on to now. You know, we can't really pass this by without talking about Coach Axtell and his influence on not only on our baseball program, but outside of baseball as well. So can you talk about some of the lessons and how he was as a coach and a person?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind when I think about Coach and his family, for that matter, with all great, great, great people, is just the incredible process that Coach had. And it was based off of years of experience and you know, trial and error, I'm sure. But if there's one thing that Coach taught me, and this goes with anything in life. Right now, I'm a sales rep. I sell software, and I have a sales process. And you know, the idea behind Coach was, hey, don't look at the end goal, right? Don't look at batting average or home runs. Look at the process. Look at the work that you have to put in to get to those goals. And then by the time you know you finish your work, you're going to be an overachiever. And I remember standing in front of the athletic banquet when I received the athletic honor of being the male athlete of the year. And I just remember those words, you know, and hey, you know, it's the daily work, it's the daily process. And then I realized, you know, what I had accomplished, and it just kind of all connected, right? And it was just an amazing experience. But you know, Coach was disciplined too. He was tough. You know, we all had to have, you know, clean shaven faces. I did have a little bit of a goatee this morning, but I shaved because I know I was going to be talking about Coach.
Yeah.
And my experience and you know, and there was a reason for that. You know, it was to build our mental toughness, because to play in the Northeast, boy, you really need to be mentally tough.
Yeah.
So, you know, the process comes to mind, discipline comes to mind. And, you know, the one thing about Coach is he was tough, but he was fair. And if you felt that you weren't getting a fair shake, you could have a conversation with him. And, you know, if it made sense and you made a good case, boy, he would give you an opportunity. And it's what you did with that opportunity that, you know, was kind of how he measured you, right? If he gave you the opportunity, he didn't produce, then, you know, obviously, you know, you understood the end result.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of sums up, I think, for me, what Coach Axtell is all about.
Yeah. And, so how does what you took from Coach Axtell and playing baseball and being a student athlete in Division III, you know, what did that mean to you as you moved on to your own life and what kinds of things that you're doing now?
Yeah, you know, it's, and I guess the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, college life is pretty easy when you kind of get to where we are, right? And,
right.
You know, holding down jobs and raising kids and all that. And life is difficult. But I always remember, you know, the things that Coach taught us, and I would always think of, you know, hey, what would Coach do in this situation, right? And there were times, you know, that I didn't make the right decisions. But I always look at Oneonta as a place that defines, you know, success and defines excellence. And, you know, when you're ever in a tough situation, even in business, you know, things go good a few years, some years you have a tough year in sales. It's just always going back to those basics, going back to that process, the work, you know, how much work you're putting in. You do get out of life what you put in.
Right.
It's pretty simple. So, you know, those types of, you know, goals and those types of thought processes are absolutely from my experience at Oneonta.
Yeah. So outside of athletics at Oneonta, you know, anything else about your experience here at the college that you could maybe point to that, you know, are kind of memories that you would hold on to?
Yeah, I mean, I met probably my best friend in life, Bill White. Bill was my roommate, and you know, he was not an athlete at Oneonta, but boy, he followed our team, and him and I had, you know, talks you know, late into the night about coach and about teams and about strategy. He was just he was just one of those engaging personalities that you know, I'm honored to call a friend. So I mean, I had a lot of good friends at Oneonta, but I would say Bill was definitely a special person.
So, you know, now that you're in our Hall of Fame, and again, we're going to have you back in June for a nice reception, and we'll unveil the plaques. And is there anybody that you'd like to thank?
Yeah, there's a lot of people. You know, the guy sitting over my shoulder, this shoulder, that's my dad. And we lost my dad a few years ago, unfortunately. And I'm glad you're bringing this up at the end because I don't want to cry. But, you know, dad, obviously, he was a catcher and he played ball for Martin Van Buren High School. And that's where he met my mom, Betty Williams. So, I mean, obviously, I got to thank them. You know, I obviously want to thank Don Axtell and the Axtell family for always welcoming me. Anytime I came up to Oneonta, they were always very precious with their time. And you know, coach, he actually absolutely gave us a PhD in leadership. I mean, I know I graduated with a BS in business economics, but coach gave me a PhD in leadership, absolutely. And you know, the players that played for him understand what that means. So I would be remiss in not thanking them. You know, we had some great athletic directors, Al Sosa, Phil Garner, you know, those are people that come to mind. Don Flewelling, who was such a great influence on me. We had, you know, many talks about baseball and that kind of thing. You know, I do at this point too. Also, want to thank my wife Tracy. She lives with me day in and day out. And you know, one of the things about having such great experiences with leaders like Don is that there is a tremendous amount of clarity that you have in your life, you know, from seeing through his lens, you know, seeing through the eyes of a great leader. And sometimes we're a little tough, and that's my dog in the background, but sometimes we're a little tough on the family. So I want to thank her for putting up with me. And then, you know, I have six children. So we have Brandon, Samantha, Brianna, Christopher, Zachary, and Gracie. So, you know, certainly want to thank them, you know, for being such great kids and allowing me to lead them.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. Six children.
I'm sure I'm missing some people.
Yeah.
Jeff, you know, obviously thank you for your time. And I want to thank you about, you know, for putting all this together and honoring me here. This has been a fantastic experience.
Yeah. Well, so we've kind of come to the end of our, you know, formal interview or whatever, but now I just have five quick questions for you, and I want you to just give me the first thing that pops into your head. All right, here we go. What's your favorite meal?
Pizza.
Pizza. What's your favorite movie?
With cold cheese, by the way.
Okay.
favorite movie, The Natural.
The Natural, of course. What's your favorite genre of music?
70s rock.
70s rock, good stuff. Who's your favorite athlete all time?
Thurman Munson.
Thurman Munson, the captain, of course. And the place you would most like to visit?
How about Oneonta Baseball Field behind home plate?
Yeah, there you go, with our brand new turf.
I will tell you that I keep the coordinates right here. My wife bought me this with the latitude and longitude coordinates of the home plate at Oneonta State.
Wow. Well, thank your wife for that. Well, listen, once again, I'm glad you took time out of your busy schedule to join us. And I want to just say congratulations on an incredible honor. It's a great class of individuals every year. And it just amazes me because obviously I did not get to see you compete. But the stories live on through like people like Don Flewelling and those guys that, you know, certainly were in your corner to support your nomination. So congratulations again.
Jeff, thank you so much.
All right.
It's a great honor. Thank you.
Yep. And thank you for joining me today. All right. We'll see you in June.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. And I want to thank Chris one more time and congratulate him for being inducted into our Athletic Hall of Fame. And as always, just as a reminder, you can watch these videos on our YouTube channel, or you can download the audio portion of the show as a podcast, and you can listen to it on any of your smart devices. So once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us today, and we thank you, and we'll see you next time on The Ozone.